What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 118. All right. So what I wanted to talk with you a little bit about is disappointment. And something that happened to me recently that I finally was actually truly disappointed in, but it also made me realize that this is something that happens so often that it has to be talked about more often, because the disappointment of regret is something that I know I personally fear. And when my son had this situation about a week and a half ago, well, I'll tell you the story. You'll see what I'm talking about. Also, too, it's pretty much Christmas right now. So what that means is that you still have like one day. If you want to get a gift card, maybe give the gift of beef to somebody for Christmas. You can go to crossomeats.com. You can get a gift card there. You can email the gift card to whoever it is that maybe it's that very, very last minute shopping. If you're listening to this when it comes out, it's Christmas Eve. So you do have still just a little bit of time to be able to get that last second gift in. Also too, if you're looking for some great coffee, make sure you go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use the promo code PRIMALKING. That'll get you that 20% discount. So again, you can go to blackriflecoffee.com. Get that discount for 20% when you use the promo code Primal King. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another solo week in the Primal King Podcast. As always, super excited to have you on board. Hopefully, if you're listening to this as it comes out, it will be Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. So, how cool was that? We got Christmas right around the corner. Hopefully you've got all your shopping done. Hopefully you're all ready to go. If you don't celebrate Christmas, then hopefully you just have a great weekend, huh? Right? So here's something that is like true to my core now, but it didn't used to be. And it really kind of resurfaced itself about a week and a half ago. So I know a lot of times, you know, we talk about being, you know, disappointed in our kids maybe, right? I'm disappointed that you didn't fold your clothes, or you know, I'm disappointed that you got a B on that test instead of an A, or you got a C instead of a B, whatever it may be. We kind of throw that term around just in terms of like being disappointed in our kids, right? Because I think there's different levels of disappointment. There's kind of like, you know, you probably should get an A on that test. You know, you probably should not get a B in PE, right? Like, you know, I'm kind of disappointed in the fact that, you know, you're not doing as well in school or something like that. I can tell you that for one of the first times I can actually remember being a parent, I actually was very disappointed in my son. This is about a week and a half ago. And I don't say that lightly, because I don't like kind of putting that pressure on my kids. I don't know. Like, just the way I parent, I don't like putting my crap onto them, I guess, and being like, I'm disappointed in you. Like, I want my kids to hopefully learn not to look to outside factors for their happiness or their validation, right? I mean, I think it's natural human emotion to want to find validation from other people, from our parents, from those around us, but it also can be very unhealthy. And that kind of leads me to this exact scenario. So for those of you who don't maybe know us personally, we live in a very small town. And when you live in a very small town, that means there's not a lot of kids that go to school. That means there's not a lot of kids maybe on the sports teams, things like that. It just happens when you live in a small school. You have a smaller pool of kids to pull from, which means there's fewer kids on the teams. And then you factor in, you know, kids getting sick and everything else. Well, my son, he plays on the third and fourth grade basketball team. He's a third grader. And the fifth and sixth grade boys team was down a couple kids because of illnesses or kids that couldn't make the game or whatever. And so the coach of that team asked my son if he would want to play on the fifth and sixth grade team. Now, keep in mind, he played the week before. He played a little bit. You know, he didn't really do a whole lot. He's kind of little, you know, third grader out there with these big fifth and sixth graders, right? But he did play a little. But he realized, like, you know, hey, he is a third grader playing against fifth and sixth graders, and he's not going to be the best player on the court, which I think he kind of feels like he maybe is in the third and fourth grade games a lot of times. So anyways, he told the coach no. He actually told the coach that he didn't want to play. And I just couldn't, I don't know, I just really couldn't comprehend the fact that he didn't want to play. And I was honestly, like, at first I was confused by it. I'm like, why wouldn't you want to play? You know, you probably aren't going to play all that much, but, you know, a couple of kids get tired, or, you know, maybe a kid gets hurt, something like that. Hey, you're there. We have nothing else to do today, really, so you might as well play. And he didn't want to. And it's like, come on, man, just go play. Like, they need help. He didn't want to. Well, again, it really confused me, because normally he's a pretty good little competitor. You know, he played football this year, and he's been playing third and fourth grade basketball, and he's always been a pretty competitive little guy. I'm not sure where he gets it from. My wife would probably tell you where he gets that from. But no, in all seriousness, then I kind of was like, huh? And so I'm kind of asking him, like, why don't you want to play? Like, what's the deal? Well, finally, after a little bit of conversation, it comes out that he didn't want to play because he was worried that he was going to, quote unquote, get smoked. And if he did, he would be embarrassed. So he didn't want to play, not because he didn't want to. He didn't want to play because he was afraid that he would go against players that were better than him and that they would smoke him, in his words, and he would be embarrassed by that. And I think maybe, like, the disappointment that I had was almost, it was almost like it was maybe more disappointment in myself, that it's like, you know, I try everything I can to teach my kids, like, again, like, don't look to outside people for validation. Like, do what you want to do and do what makes you happy. And again, like, we can teach this stuff, but we're all human, right? And I think it does get to the bigger point that I'll get to here in a second. But I was almost like, I was disappointed because it was something that I know that he would want to do, right? He's not someone who typically shies away from competition. He's not someone who doesn't like basketball and he just didn't want to play. He simply didn't play because he was scared of what other people would say about him, or what they would you know, that he would be embarrassed because he maybe gets beat in the game. And man, that one was disappointing to me. But then I step back and I'm like, you know what? It's something that we all do. Every one of us, no matter how strong we think we are and how committed we think we are, like, to a certain degree, almost all of us are living with this. We're dealing with this. I mean, I know when I first started this podcast, the thoughts went through my mind of, like, maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe I shouldn't do the podcast. It's probably going to be embarrassing. Maybe I shouldn't call it the Primal King podcast because people will probably make fun of it. And, like, maybe it'll just be embarrassing. And so I probably just shouldn't even do it. And because I did do it, though, I mean, it's been insane the amount of doors that it's opened to me because I was willing to, I don't know, be embarrassed, I guess. And because I was willing to just put it out there and put my story out there and try to bring other people on that have great stories, and for those people willing to put their stories out there and potentially be embarrassed. But then you look at so many of us, we don't want to start a business because if it fails, we'll be embarrassed. Or we'll do things and we won't tell certain people because we're afraid that they'll make fun of us, or they'll, you know, we'll be embarrassed to tell them. I mean, it happens so often, right? Like, how many of you out there don't tell your parents certain things that you're doing because you know that it would be too embarrassed? And so you, like, you live in this like disalignment, right? Because it's like, I want to do this, but yet I don't want to tell anybody because I'll be judged. But because of the fact that you're not willing to tell people what you're doing, you'll never have that full alignment to go full speed ahead. Again, even with our business, right? When we first came out with our business, it was like, man, this is going to be, you know, are people going to say this about us? Are they going to say that about us? Are they going to say that, you know, we're not cowboy enough? We're not rancher enough? We're not, you know, we're too this, we're too that, we're not enough this, we're not enough that. Like, all of these things that go through your head that I think is very, very natural. In fact, I almost think you would probably have to be a sociopath to not have those feelings come through your head, right? Like, you'd almost have to be like a sociopath to the sense to where you don't even have enough self-awareness to understand that that could happen. Right? I mean, again, like, there's a term for that. That's being a sociopath, right? When you literally don't consider anybody else around you. And the flip side of that, though, is that if you are maybe a very self-aware person and you're aware of your surroundings and you hear the whispers and you hear the murmurs and you hear all of this type of stuff, it can literally paralyze you to never want to do anything. It can absolutely stop you in your tracks from all of the dreams that you have. And so when Riley, when my son was telling me this, I remember like honestly, it pissed me off. And then I felt bad about getting pissed off about it. But I was just like, man, you can't live life this way. You can't live life in a way that you're not doing things because you're afraid that you might get beat. You're afraid that you might fail. You're afraid that you might lose. And even worse than that, you're afraid of what people might say because of that. And then I think, like, how many people have gone to their grave wanting to do something big, wanting to do something that they maybe dreamed about their entire life? They grew up wanting to do something, and then they got older and they wanted to do it. But what would everybody say? What if somebody says something? What if somebody makes fun of them? What if they fail and then they have to hear all the haters? And what if they're not as successful as what they wanted it to be? And everyone looks at them as they failed. And like, if there's one thing that I hope that people listening to this podcast will get, is that you should do it anyways. You should do it. Because the reality is, and I remember hearing Sean Whalen way back toward the beginning episodes of this, like, he's a big proponent of this. And he had said basically, like, you will be judged no matter what, right? For the people who want to judge you, they're going to judge you no matter what. You'll never be ripped enough. You'll never be skinny enough. You'll never be, you know, rich enough. You'll never be, you know, whatever the case may be for certain people. It doesn't matter. I mean, again, like, you think about this, and this is something that I said when I did the commencement speech or whatever, keynote speech at the graduation this year. I mean, just think about this for a second. If you ever want perspective on being embarrassed about what people are going to say about you, you have people every single week that sit down that are probably morbidly obese, mowing down on chicken wings, yelling at the screen about how bad Tom Brady sucks. Okay, so just think about this. Tom Brady's won, what, 7 Super Bowls? He's won them in 2 different places. He's, you know, probably going to own most records that are meaningful records in NFL, but yet you will have people that sit down on their couch in their mom's basement or wherever it may be talking about how bad he is. Think about all of your friends when you get together at a you know, and you're all watching the UFC fights or something like that. And it's like, oh my gosh, can you believe that guy got submitted by him? It's like, dude, you wouldn't last 3 seconds in that ring. Like, nobody would. These are elite level athletes. They're literally the best of the best in the entire world. And you get Joe Schmo sitting next to you drinking, you know, Keystone Light, saying how he could take so-and-so in a UFC match, right? I mean, you have to keep this in perspective. And that's what I guess I really tried to get across to my son that day, was that, man, I will never be disappointed in you if you go out there and you just get your butt kicked, right? There's always going to be somebody that is going to be better than you. There's going to be somebody who's probably going to be faster, and there's somebody who can probably shoot better or throw a football better. There could always be that person. But you know what? The fact is that if you get beat by that person and you go down swinging, that's okay. Let the haters say what they want to say. You know, and I don't know, maybe when he played on the team the week before, some of the older kids gave him grief. I have no idea. I don't care. Doesn't make a difference to me. What made a difference to me is that rather than losing the fight, he just didn't even want to be in it. And again, like, how often do we all do that? How often do we say that, oh, I'd rather just not even go than I would to potentially lose? You know, I would rather not build a business that I've always dreamed about building as opposed to try to build it and fail. Again, like, all of us have a certain period of time here on this earth. I don't know if that's today, tomorrow, 50 years from now, whenever it's going to be. But the one thing, like, I'm always trying to get through to my kids is do everything you can to not go to your grave with regrets. That's it. Now, I don't think that there's going to be a point in time where he's 39 years old like I am and he looks back and he thinks that he wishes that he would have played in that game. But what it does is it creates patterns. We learn patterns at a very young age. You can see certain kids when you're coaching them that it's like that kid just has a losing mindset. And if he doesn't figure out a way to get out of that, that stuff will catapult. It will snowball into a losing mindset as an adult. And it will create a losing mindset in that kid's kids. And so the best thing that I can try to do, I feel like, in that situation is to try to teach my kids, and in that moment, my son, that the only reason that you should be embarrassed today, and this is exactly what I said. I said the only reason you should be embarrassed is because of the fact that you're not willing to lose. The fact that you would rather not play and you would rather let potential teammates down than you would to look bad because somebody smokes you who's 2 or 3 years older than you. I mean, come on. Like there's nothing wrong with having a kid older than you beat you in a game of basketball, or you know what I mean? Like tear you up or smoke you or whatever it may be. There's no shame in that. But to me, there's a ton of shame in not playing because of the fact that that may happen. But then also, what happens when you go through that stuff so often, right? Like so oftentimes when you get through that nervousness, that potential embarrassment, you push your limits. When you start that business that you've always wanted to start and you actually, I don't know, maybe you succeed with it, it'll be the most fulfilling thing that you ever do in your life. Because it'll be something that you had to fight for, you had to fight through, you had to get, you know, you had to work through the potential embarrassment and people giving you crap about it. Or, you know, maybe you've had to, you know, witness or, you know, go through failure and witness the blowback from that. And then because of that, though, you came out even stronger on the other side. But man, like I fear for our culture. And I don't think this is just my son. I think this is pretty widespread. You know, again, I coach a ton of kids and have coached a ton of kids for years now, to where there's just so many people now that would rather not take the chance. It goes back to that. You guys remember White Men Can't Jump? Remember that old movie? Great movie. If you haven't watched it, sorry about the banging on the microphone, getting a little excited here. But there was a line in that I've always remembered. And it's, you know, Woody Harrelson's character, what is it, Billy Doyle, whatever it is. And he says to Wesley Snipes' character in that movie, he said, "You know the problem with you? The problem with you is that you would rather look good and lose than look bad and win." One of my favorite lines ever. Because how many of us would rather go out there and look good and win than we would to look bad and lose? Now, for me personally, I have an extreme hatred of losing, so I don't really care how I look as long as I win. And you know, I probably should seek help for that type of mindset because it might be a little too extreme. But the reality is that was what kept going through my head when my son was telling me this. Like, so really, Riley, like you, basically what you're saying is that you don't care if you go out there and help your team win. You just care if you go out there and look bad. So that's the standard is just how you look. Well, here's the other thing to this, guys, too, as I kind of wrap this up, is that you have no control over what people are going to say. You could go out there and you could score 40 points in a basketball game. You could build a multi-million dollar business. You could get a six pack and you can still never control what people say about you. Because the truth is that if you go from fat to fit and you end up with a six pack, those same people who were giving you grief about being fat are now going to be the same ones saying that you're using steroids, right? The same people who are trolling you because you were overweight are going to be the same people that are like, "That guy's got a problem. Spends all his time in the gym. Gosh, why don't he do something with his life? All he cares about is six-pack abs." Right? So what I'm getting at is that you'll never please those people. And the sooner that you realize that, the better off you'll be. And yes, maybe you have to distance yourself from them. If you literally can't take that feedback loop of negativity, which most of us can't, then you have to distance yourself away from people who will say that. But they're still going to be the ones who get through to you. They're still going to be the ones who are going to, you're going to hear the whispers. So what do you do at that point? Well, here's the thing. The absolute best revenge that you can get over people who are doing that type of stuff is to win. It's never going to be to let them hold you down. It's always going to be to win. It's going to be, what can I do today to get revenge? Because the best revenge that you can ever get, it's not going and fighting those people. It's not going and yelling at them or any of that stuff. The best revenge is just to win. Because usually people who are talking about you, they're losers. What do losers hate? They hate people that win. So just keep winning. Just keep winning. Keep doing. Keep failing. Keep winning. It just goes in this circle. And so as we get in here, it's you know, everyone's going to be having your New Year's resolutions as we get, you know, Christmas time. And, you know, there's probably a lot of us that the week before Christmas and New Year's, it's like, okay, what are we going to do this next year? Maybe finishing up kind of your Q1 planning, all of that type of stuff, right? The one thing that I would encourage you to do if you're going to go into the New Year's, because if you can do this, it'll change everything for you, which is to stop being, like, really work on, I should say, I don't know that it's possible to stop, but really work on not letting other people dictate what you do with your life. Not letting other people's judgments and hates and trolls and everything else dictate whether you're going to do what you want to do or not. When we moved back up to our ranch, There were so many people that were like, you're stupid. You're crazy. Why would you do that? Why would you walk away from a six-figure job? Why would you do this? I don't care. None of those people are going to be on my deathbed with me, right? None of those people am I going to feel any debt when I go to my grave. So I didn't care what any of them said. I knew what was best for me and for my family. And no matter what anybody said, no matter what judgments, no matter what trolls, whatever, didn't matter. Because I knew that there was going to come a point where I was laying on my deathbed and I wasn't going to give a shit about what any of those people said. Not one ounce. It won't even go through my brain. I guarantee you. When I'm on my deathbed, I will not think about any of that negativity, any of the stuff, any of the judgments, any of that those people had. But what I do know is that if I hadn't done it, if I had let those people affect my decision-making and I didn't do what I knew I needed to do, that would have lived with me forever. That would have been there on my deathbed. That would have been something that I would have been thinking about. I wish I would have done. And so again, like to wrap this up, really kind of the first time I've been disappointed in my son wasn't because of how bad he played or because of a bad grade or because he didn't clean his room on time. No, I don't care. I mean, I kind of care, but you know what I mean? Like I really don't care in the whole scheme of things. So just remember, the people who are talking down to you, they don't matter. They never will matter. But use that to fuel yourself to build a much better life. All right, everybody. Talk to you next week. Have an awesome day. Merry Christmas.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.